Welcome to the Math Ed Podcast. I'm Sam Otten from the University of Missouri. In the last episode, I did a digest summary of the PMENA Research Conference in Reno, Nevada. For this episode, I've asked a few other people to help me give a summary of some of the ideas that were shared at the annual meeting of the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. NCTM is the premier association for mathematics educators in the United States, and they held their annual meeting in Washington, D.C. in late October. They also had a small research conference in D.C. leading into the big annual meeting when all the teachers, math specialists, and other practitioners join in along with the teacher educators and researchers. There were many people involved in putting together this big event, but a few of the leaders that I want to mention are Carl Oliver, who is the program committee chair for NCTM, Agita Manizadeh, who's from the Virginia Council of Teachers of Mathematics, and John Sielke and Christine Thoreau, who are from the Maryland Council of Teachers of Mathematics. The keynote speakers were Jamila Dugan, Julia Aguirre and Karen Mayfield Ingram, and Crystal Watson. I'm going to share the titles and abstracts from these three keynote presentations. So first, from Jamila Dugan, who's from JD Learning Partners in San Diego, California. Her presentation was called Climbing Out of Equity Traps and Tropes. Here's the abstract. Many of our district and school equity efforts focus on oversimplified quick fixes and implementation of off-the-shelf solutions. Although we may feel a sense of urgency to address deep-rooted equity issues, our attempts are often thwarted by landmines that can be identified and removed through strategic analysis and creative action. In this keynote, Dr. Dugan lays out common equity traps and tropes that can undermine our well-intentioned efforts. Through storytelling and real-world examples, we explore why it is so hard to move equity work forward while beginning to find the courage to move toward next-generation models for school transformation and unhinge ourselves from a legacy of implementation over imagination. Next is Julia Aguirre from the University of Washington and Karen Mayfield Ingram from UC Berkeley. Their presentation was entitled Essential Elements for Cultivating Joy and Justice in Mathematics Education, a Critical Dialogue for Taking Action. And here's the abstract. Systemic inequities persist in math education despite well-meaning efforts to improve access and meet the learning needs of students. In this talk, two math educators of color challenge conventional wisdom and discuss essential, non-negotiable elements needed to transform the math learning space to one that cultivates math joy and justice. And finally, there was a keynote from Crystal Watson from Cincinnati Public Schools. Her presentation was entitled, I Don't Belong, Changing the Narrative of Who Does Math. And here's the abstract. Dr. Danny Bernard Martin tells us, quote, a consequence of ignoring historically excluded identities, especially race and ethnicity, is the perpetuation of the hierarchy of who does and deserves to access a quality education, end quote. For many youth, a sense of belonging is a prerequisite for authentic relationships and ultimately developing positive math identities. How do the ways we currently do math class set young people up for failure before they even have a chance to deeply engage? We will unpack what belonging and math identity are, why they are both important in our conversations about mathematics improvement, who can and should change the narratives of who does and experiences math, and how we do that from wherever we are. So those were the topics of the keynote presentations. There were, of course, also hundreds of other sessions at this conference attended by something like 8,000 math educators. Next, we will hear from a few people who shared ideas at NCTM. Summarizing their sessions will be Gail Burrill from Michigan State, Amanda Huffman-Hayes from Purdue, and Lindsay Gold from the University of Dayton. I also want to remind listeners that the door is still open for article summaries. If there's an article you've read that's worth sharing with the broader community, or if you want to share your interpretation of some key ideas in a recent MathEd article or book, just record an audio file where you introduce yourself, identify the reference and authors, and then give your summary in about 4 to 5 minutes. You can send the audio file to ottensam@att.net. I'm hoping to release another digest episode before the end of the year. But now, back to NCTM.
Hi, I'm Gail Burrill from the Program in Mathematics Education at Michigan State University. My talk at the 2023 annual meeting of the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics in Washington, D.C. was about the role of interactive dynamic technology in opening doors for students. Despite the impact of technology in nearly every part of our lives, and the presence of ChatGPT and software such as SymbolLab that does nearly everything we teach, mathematics classrooms today are much the same as they were 40 years ago, with the technology only used, if at all, for computing and maybe graphing. I believe that interactive dynamic technology has a key role to play in making mathematics available to everyone. It can do the mathematical work, not just calculating and graphing, but also manipulating symbols, doing the factoring and solving equations. This does not mean that we shouldn't teach these topics, but we should refocus our lessons on understanding and interpreting what the ideas mean and how they are used. Math action technologies, technologies dedicated to mathematics, can help students build robust concept images of ideas such as function, equation, randomness, or chance. They can also help students make connections among different representations using graphs, symbols, numbers, and words to help them make sense of problems. The technology enables students to use real data to investigate real problems such as the changing CO2 levels in our atmosphere or the wage gap by gender, race, or education. And finally, the technology allows students to make and test conjectures, to try a mathematical model and quickly adjust it, or mentally visualize the graph of a function, then verify their thinking. Using technology to do these things enables students to engage in their own learning by trying different approaches, visualizing problems as a way to understand them, and to undo a move that seems unproductive. Screen sharing technology allows students to see others thinking the same way they are and to learn from their peers, to have their ideas elevated, positioning them as mathematically competent. The students are empowered to investigate mathematics in ways they cannot using only paper and pencil. The technology truly does open doors for all students and is essential in the teaching and learning of mathematics for tomorrow, not yesterday.
Hi, I'm Amanda Huffman-Hayes, and I'm a doctoral candidate at Purdue University. At the NCTM 2023 Research Conference, I shared some preliminary findings in my dissertation research study, which is based upon work supported by CPM Educational Program's Outstanding Dissertation Fellowship. Using a school-based ethnographic case study design, and with the following research question in mind, in a problem-based algebra classroom, how do the curricula and teacher moves contribute to the development of students' mathematical authority? I examined how a ninth grade pre-algebra teacher, the students, and the CPM Core Connections Course 3 curriculum materials contributed to the development of students' mathematical authority. I started my observations on the first day of the school year and observed and video and audio recorded the lessons across the duration of the first unit of study. Using deductive data of analysis with the transcripts from the lessons with Wagner and Erbil Eisenman's modified guide for identifying authority and Sullivan and colleagues sharing mathematical authority continuum, I have found meaningful tasks presented by the teacher, Mrs. B, that aligned with particular goals to help build classroom community and culture at the start of the year. These particular tasks have helped also to build the students' mathematical authority. For instance, Mrs. B started the second day of class with an image of dice on the board and asked students the question, "What do you notice? What do you wonder? And how many?" After students individually thought about these questions, they then talked in groups of three before sharing some of their thoughts with the whole class. Some students said there were 24 because 24 dice had 5 dots on them. Some students said 25 dice because there were 25 dice in the image. Another group said 124 because that's the total of dots that were on all of the die. So this one task allowed Ms. B to demonstrate how there might not always be one right answer and how all perspectives are and will be appreciated in the class. This is just one particular task. There were several others that continued as she continued to build the classroom culture and the community. Results from this study will contribute to the ongoing conversations around striving for equitable learning opportunities while simultaneously revealing classroom structures that empower students with mathematical authority to develop mathematical understanding.
Hi, my name is Lindsay Gold, and I'm an associate professor at the University of Dayton in Dayton, Ohio. Myself, along with Johnny Ashurst and Michael Houston, presented at NCTM in Washington, D.C. on using coding and social-emotional learning to teach mathematics in the elementary classroom. We were studying the decreased interest in STEAM beginning in upper elementary years, so we worked with third, fourth, and fifth graders and exposed them to technologies such as the TI Innovator Hub and TI Innovator Rover to see if it increased their interest and how it could be used to enhance instruction. We began by setting the stage of what do engineers do, what's the engineering design process, working through that, a collaboration activity regarding coding, because part of what we really wanted to do in this study and in this project was to emphasize social-emotional standards and social-emotional learning. And we did this through the Ohio social-emotional standards, such as competency A, self-awareness, competency B, self-management, competency C, social awareness, and then competency E, responsible decision-making. So we talked a lot about what that means and how you can be responsible for yourself and how to successfully listen to others and how to collaborate and work in a group. And we did a warm-up challenge where they had to design a cradle to get Humpty Dumpty off of the wall safely after reading the children's literature book After the Fall, How Humpty Dumpty Got Back Up Again. And we modeled this engineering design process and used this as an introduction into the technology and what we would be doing with the coding. So then we talked about the TI Inspire CX2, which is a graphing calculator normally that will be found in middle and high school. But part of this project also was to show Texas Instruments and others that students were comfortable with this technology and that they could do a really good job using the graphing calculator. We also introduced the TI Innovator Hub and Rover that they would use for coding. They did some coding for color, for sound, for lines, for angles, perimeter, area, and shapes. And then at the end, they were able to get their Rover driver's license to conclude the activity and make them feel like they have really done something special and wrap up that social-emotional learning piece.
Thanks for listening, and I do want to let you know that the Math Ed group here at the University of Missouri is looking to hire 2 teaching professors. We have strong undergraduate programs here in the Department of Learning, Teaching, and Curriculum, and we also have a very robust set of online programs in Math Ed for practicing teachers. So we are looking to hire a teaching professor who can come on campus here in Columbia, and also a teaching professor who could work remotely on the online programs. Applications are due November 27th, and you can email me or John Lannon with questions about the positions. John is the search committee chair, and his email address is lanninj@missouri.edu. That's LANNINJ@missouri.edu.